When John started this morning, I thought that I'd have to go back and start over again because he started it just a little bit after what I planned to start on. However, it's going to be in the book of Job. And I'm going to start a few verses before what he did. I'm going to start in the first chapter. And I believe I'll start with about the sixth verse, but as we recall the story, Job was a righteous man. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And it seems strange that here a man like this, he had 10 children, and I believe that these 10 children were too righteous. But he did have 10 children, and he was a very, very wealthy man. And he was a very righteous man. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Now this is a natural thing. If a man was righteous, the Lord would do these things for him. We will go on here. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine and in the eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger to Job and said, Thy oxen were plowing and thy asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, and they slay thy servants with the edge of a sword. And only I escape alone to tell thee. Now this would be quite a loss, because he had had quite a bit of livestock, and it goes on here and tells more. It'd be quite a loss to Job. While he was yet speaking, came also another and said, The fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep. Up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another, and said, The Chaldeans came out three bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain thy servants with the edge of the sword, and only I escaped to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another, and said, Thy sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in thy eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and only I escape alone to tell thee. And this would be quite a thing, wouldn't it? Everything, for all practical purposes, he owned, had been destroyed or carried off. And this would be a, what we would think might be more than anybody could bear. And we'll find out what Job done. Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. He worshipped the Lord. And this must have been quite a shock to Satan. Down in the second verse, a similar situation happened. And here we'll continue on with this in the fourth, in the second chapter, in the fourth verse. And Satan answered, and the same thing had come upon him again. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand and touch his bone and flesh, and he will curse thee to the face, to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but spare his life. Now that isn't very much left, is it? Everything here but to spare his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the soles of his feet to his crown. I don't know how many people here ever had a boil. I've had about three of them in my life. And if I'm sure that if I'd have been in this condition, it would have been beyond me, I'll tell you that. Because one of them is quite painful. Even just to almost to drag across a boil is painful. And if he had him from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head, there was no place that he could be comfortable. And he took him a potsherd and scraped himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. And said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. She thought this was the best thing that he could do. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one that of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive? Good at the hand of God, and shall not receive evil. In all this did not Job sin with his lips. And John read a good deal more about it this morning. That Job did not turn away all the painful things that he did have, the things that was absolutely beyond us, and he remained faithful. All of us are going to have trials from time to time. Fortunately, most of us hasn't had anything such as this, or even close to it. But we do know that we do have trials. And it seems like sometimes they keep coming upon us. You can look in your own family and you think, well, things are going pretty smooth today. And then all of a sudden tomorrow you find out that there have been things going awry that you've got to make adjustment for. In your health or your finances or something else. And I think that we see ourselves having health problems fall upon us that it seems like it's absolutely beyond us. But still, if we remain faithful and turn to the Lord, he is going to be there to help us. I think that pretty much every family here in the last few months can look and find something that has come upon them. I don't think there's any of us that has been able to escape from it. If we would look at the ailments that we've had in the past maybe 10 months amongst us, if we would have been sitting here a year ago and someone would have told us that all of these would be upon us within the next 10 months, we would hardly have believed it. Several people have had surgery, several other ailments, but yet we have pretty well prevailed. I don't think that any of us has turned away from the Lord. Yet we wonder why they come upon us, and I surely don't have the answer, but I do know where we can get our strength. In the 22nd verse of the first chapter there, after he had had all these problems, it says, In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He didn't blame God for it. But we know that if some of these things come upon us and we prevail over them, that we are stronger. And as we continue to go about our daily task, if we seek the Lord, we're going to continue to grow in strength. And we cannot do it by ourselves. I'm going to go over to the 37th Psalm. And this is a place, the Psalms have so many beautiful words in them. I'm going to start with the first verse here in the 37th Psalm. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the works of iniquity. I think sometimes we look around and do see people that have very well prospered, and we know that they haven't been what we would consider the righteous people that we think people should be, yet they're wealthy and well-to-do. And it may make us a bit jealous, but we can't let this happen to us. But here's what it says about these people. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And I'm sure this means if we have kept the commandments and if the desires are good, we're going to receive a lot of them. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. This would tell us that we're not even to have evil thoughts. And sometimes this is a little hard, I think. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And sometimes it seems like that we've waited a long time. I think of our little church. We have the gospel to offer to the people, and only a handful of the people of the world even know about it. Even a very small percentage, I would say, of the people that believe in the Book of Mormon have even heard of us. We were reading this evening in our young people's class about the dilemma that fell upon them in the late 20s. When men that they thought was righteous and upright divided the church and took people away and brought in strange doctrine that could not be accepted. And how could these things have happened? And why did they? I don't know. We do know that it was the work of Satan. And it would have been so much better if those people had searched the scripture, sought the Lord in prayer, and not followed after these foolish things that had cropped up amongst them. But those that do continue after the Lord, it says that they are going to inherit the earth. I want to read over in the 23rd verse of this same psalm. Thy steps, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And I think that each one of us can see this. Times we have had problems, and when we thought that maybe we were near the bottom, that we found out the Lord was there to help us. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and lendeth. And his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. And these words are something that we are very well aware of. And as we would go through the Psalms here, we can find words similar to this in a different way. We can find it in different places in the Scripture telling us to do the same thing. These are something that is just in one place. I want to read a little bit over in Mosiah. In the 11th chapter. Beginning with the 54th verse. And this was another time that the people that were righteous were being oppressed. And it came to pass that Amalon began to exercise authority over Alma and his brethren, and began to persecute him, and caused that his children should persecute their children. And Amalon knew Alma, that he had been one of the king's priests, and that it was he that believed the words of Abinadi, and was driven out before the king, and therefore was wroth with him, for he was a subject of King Laman. Yea, he exercised authority over them, and put tasks upon them, and put taskmasters over them. Not a whole lot different than it was when they was in Egypt and other places when they were in captivity. And it came to pass that so great were the afflictions that they began to cry mightily to God. And Amalon commanded them that they should stop their cries and put a guard over them to watch them, that whosoever should be found calling upon God should be put to death. That would be a sore burden to bear, wouldn't it? But even in the last, I expect, half century, at least, and back into the early 20s, this same thing's happened, similar to this in Russia, that people weren't allowed to practice their belief, and they were killed and driven to and fro. But here was a completely righteous people at this time that had sought the Lord. They had become humble, and they were seeking after his help. And we'll find out what they'd done. And Alma and his people did not raise their voices to the Lord, their God, but did pour out their hearts to him, and he did know the thoughts of their hearts. In other words, we can pray to ourselves, and the Lord is going to hear us. And it came to pass that the voice of the Lord came unto them in their afflictions, saying, Lift up your heads, and be of good comfort. For I know of the covenant which ye have made unto me, and I will covenant with this my people, and deliver them out of bondage. So he did hear their prayers, and he made a promise to them. But had you ever thought that this is one type of a bondage, But I think that the world today has other types of bondages that is tying them down almost as much. And what they need to do today, or what we need to do, is bring this to the attention of the people around about us and allow them to know that they are in bondage. A lot of people don't think that they're in bondage today, but many of them are. Oftentimes, this bondage is of their own making. They're not of a bondage where other people have really seriously oppressed them, but they have put themselves in bondage to the things of the world. And I will also ease their burdens which are put upon your shoulders, that even you cannot feel them upon your backs, even while ye are in bondage. It would be quite a blessing, wouldn't it? So that you go ahead and do the things you need to do, but not be so burdened with them. And this will I do, that ye may stand as a witness for me hereafter, and that ye may know of a surety that I, the Lord God, do visit my people in their afflictions. And now it came to pass that the burdens which were laid upon Alma and his brethren were made light. Yea, the Lord did strengthen them that they could bear up their burdens with ease, and they did submit cheerfully and with patience to the will of the Lord. And it came to pass that so great was their faith and their patience that the voice of the Lord came unto them saying, be of good comfort, for on tomorrow I will deliver you out of bondage. And he said unto Alma, thou shalt go before this people, and I will go with thee and deliver this people out of bondage. If we read the next few verses, we find that the Lamanites and the taskmakers fell into a deep sleep that night, and they spent the night gathering their flocks and herds and fled and went out of the country and were able to escape. And I think this one verse here, the 72nd, is something that's very important. And they gave thanks to God, yea, all their men and their women and their children who could speak lifted their voice in praises of their God. If the world today could realize these things and turn to him and praise the Lord in the same way, it would make a great deal of change. And those that are oppressed from sins of the world could be lifted of that great burden. I assure you that the burdens of each one of us have had from time to time is oftentimes pretty heavy upon us. But those people that are burdened with sins that they don't seem to be able to overcome have a much greater affliction than those that have a physical affliction. I want to read over here in Revelation a few verses. In the third chapter, I believe I will begin with the 15th verse here. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I hope this doesn't fit us, but there's a lot of people in the world that profess a certain amount of Christianity, and they're neither hot nor cold, and they might well fall in this group. I'm sure that he wouldn't have said this if there wasn't going to be quite a few of them. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, thou knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. And few people would believe that they were in this condition. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see it. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So it might be the case that sometimes we are going to be tried, and we are going to be chastened. But if we endure these things, we are also going to be blessed. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. That's quite a promise, isn't it? If we seek the Lord and do it in earnestness, that he is going to be with us. He's always there knocking. All we've got to do is let him in. And he's going to be there with us to direct us, I think, in physical and spiritual things both. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit down with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The Lord has promised to be with us in whatever we do, if we are doing that which is proper. And if we've done that, we can expect to turn to him and have him be our comforter. I want to read a little bit out of Corinthians. In the 10th chapter of Corinthians. I believe we'll begin at the 5th verse here. And they're speaking of the people that had came out of Egypt and what had blessed them and some of their conditions. With many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. The people that came out, he wasn't pleased with them, and they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornications as some of them committed, and fell one day 23,000. That'd be quite a few people, wouldn't it? 23,000 people died in one day. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by the serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. We're not to murmur against God, are we? Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Did you ever think that maybe there was, you were being tempted different and more than anyone else? But here it says that you were not. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able. But we have got to resist. And if we resist, we're not going to be tempted beyond that point. But with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So we're going to have the Lord be with us, and we may have lots of problems fall upon us, and there may be many times when we think that it's beyond what we can bear. I'm sure that Job wondered if he could bear up under the trials that he had. But he never doubted God, and he continued to put his trust in him. And continued to work for him. And it's our duty to do the same thing. We will have trials come upon us, but if we seek the Lord in prayer and are humble and have kept the commandments, we're going to receive some comfort. If we turn from him, that's when our problem is going to really begin. But also, as he does things for us, we oftentimes thank him for them. We oftentimes ask the Lord for things that we need. But you know, he needs quite a bit from us too. And that seems strange, doesn't it? But the Lord needs things from us. He needs an honest heart and devout people that will strive to work and further his work. And that's one of the things that's really expected of us. If we don't do these things, then how do we expect him to hear us when we cry? Not only have we got to keep the commandments, but we have got to work. We have got to diligently make an effort to further his word and his work upon this earth. But if we keep those commandments, and if we're faithful, and as the trials come upon us, if we continue to seek after him, he's going to be there to help us, and we're going to receive the blessing that we have need of. Thank you.
Wednesday at 8 o'clock, we'll have prayer service. Turn to number 325. 325. Shall we stand while we sing?